Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Pam Harper's here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Pam is the author of Preventing Strategic Gridlock. She's also a nationally recognized consultant and speaker, and her company, BAI, of which she is a founder and president, helps companies all over the country and halfway around the world to put their best foot forward in the marketplace. And she's here to help us do that very thing today. Pam, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Jim.
It's good to have you back, as always.
Yes, good to be here.
You know, you talk about gridlock a lot, organizational gridlock. One of the reasons why, you know, I before you got here, I told the audience, I gave them an idea about what it might feel like. If you got gridlock in your organization, strategic gridlock, as you call it, that the way it might feel to a small business owner is frustration.
Oh, absolutely.
You're trying to accomplish something, and you every time you make a turn, it's like you're blocked in, and there, it might be not enough money, it might be not enough resources, it might be not the people, you don't have enough people, or the people you have aren't the right people, or whatever it may be. Could be a lot of different things, but the first emotion, the first feeling that you get, this is before fear, folks, and stark terror. The first one is you get is frustration. You get a little bit aggravated, a little bit agitated. And one of the things I know you want to talk about today, Pam, is a little bit of a different way to think about avoiding and solving the gridlock thing. And that's something that my audience knows I've been talking about for a long time, and that's strategic alliances.
Okay. Well, I do believe that it has its own challenges. I do want to make it clear that strategic gridlock can happen around anything. What I would like to make sure we talk about is how to prevent gridlock from getting in the way of something that's so important, such as strategic alliances.
Mm-hmm. All right. Go ahead.
Well, I guess the first thing I want to let your listeners know is that so many times when I'm working with small businesses, they'll tell me about their assumptions about alliances. And to me, there are three common but mistaken assumptions about alliances. The first one, perhaps you've heard this, Jim, it's that alliances are not part of my organization. You know,
why would someone say that?
Pardon me?
Why would they say that?
Well, they would say that because these are people that are not on your payroll. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm thinking about what I'm going to do with my business, my personal business, am I thinking about my alliance partner? Not necessarily.
You're talking about an employee might say that?
I'm saying that as a business owner, one of the things that gets in our way and sets up the foundation for gridlock is when you don't think about your alliance partners as part of your organization. I'm saying they are incredibly important.
Absolutely.
So this is a common but mistaken assumption.
So you're saying that, well, they're still thinking of them as vendors instead of partners,
aren't they? Right. Exactly. So just as I know you had a guest on who was talking about being more strategic with outsourcing, I'm saying that alliance partners, equally, we have to be strategic and realize that they are a critical, critical part of our organization. In fact, I recently did a study in alliance, actually as part of an alliance, and we found that with small businesses, these were particularly consultants, that that consultants are increasingly depending upon alliances to extend their reach and their capabilities, and that doing a lot of things that they could not otherwise do. And so that's the first one. The second one, and I think another thing that gets us into gridlock around alliances, is people thinking that they are a relatively low-risk way to expand your organization. You know, it's easy to kind of fall into these. You know, I ask people, well, why did you form this alliance? And they go, well, you know, it happened. It kind of happened. Mm. And the fact is that alliances that go bad, Well, alliances that go well have tremendous capability, but alliances that go bad can lead to unnecessary conflicts, wasted time, resources, lost opportunities.
What would be an example?
Well,
like,
for instance, I know of one particular organization. These were actually two accounting firms, small accounting firms, that were trying to form an alliance around something in different parts of the country. So it made sense for them in one in one way. But the problem for this particular firm was, or these two firms, was they had a very different way of going about doing business in terms of billing their clients and how they made decisions. And so it was easy in one way to get together. It made sense for them to get together. But on the other side of it, they ended up in conflicts a lot more of the time than they thought they were both
screwdrivers, but one was Phillips head and one was regular head.
You got it. And that kind of leads to the third common but mistaken assumption, which is that the complementary fit of two companies should be enough to make an alliance successful. You know, I talk a lot about, you know, balancing what should work with what will work.
Right.
And should is that strategy. You know, it should work if I am going to focus on marketing and you're going to focus on distribution. It should work, right? But the problem is that it doesn't necessarily, because there's a lot more involved, especially in terms of values, culture, and some of the other things we were talking about. So
when you were saying that, it makes me think of Ronald Reagan's definition of an economist.
Okay.
Have you ever heard that one?
He said
an economist is someone who looks at something happening in real life and wonder, and they wonder if it would ever, if it would happen in theory.
That's interesting.
But so what you're talking about is the opposite of that. And but you know, this the alliance thing, the building strategic alliances, folks, you've heard me say this 1,000 times on this show. If you read what I write, you know that I believe in this. This is, to me, building strategic alliances is one of the most important 21st century activities and disciplines that you can develop. Having your antenna running up as often as you can for opportunities to not have vendors, maybe not even competitors in some places, but have allies, people who can contribute. You can contribute to each other. But what we're going to have Pam talk to us about when we come back is some more about how not to take those for granted, not to think that they're easy. Because sometimes, usually they're not. It takes maintenance. You have to pay attention to them. You have to take them seriously. And you have to enter into them wisely. And we're going to do that right after these messages. It's 20 after. Pam Harper is our guest. Pamela S. Harper is on the book. Preventing Strategic Gridlock is the title of the book. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. Is that little band from Texas? I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. It's 23 after the hour. We're visiting with Pam Harper. Pamela S. Harper is the name on the book, Preventing Strategic Gridlock. Pam, give us your website. And I think you got a special offer for us, too, don't you?
I do. The website is businessadvance.com. And my special offer to you guys is that if you email me at pharper@businessadvance.com, I have a complimentary white paper for you called 4 Steps to Making Strategic Alliances Work.
Wow.
And it can build on some of the things that we're talking about here and give you some ideas.
Thank you for that. And that's free.
That is free.
All you got to do, pharper@businessadvance.com,
same as the
folks.
Site. And there are other articles on that site as well.
Check it out and go to the website. Ask for the free white paper. I think I really encourage you to do that, folks, because I'll tell you, Pam, small business owners are not, we're never, well, Blassingame's first law of small business is this. It's redundant to say undercapitalized small business. Because we're all undercapitalized.
Well, that's
and,
true.
And so that means you can you never have enough resources. You never have enough capital. And other people have resources that you need. Why not put your heads together with other folks? And you don't have to be a partner with them. Being a strategic, having a strategic alliance, Pam, doesn't mean that you partner with them. Although that it could mean that, it could just mean that they become a very integrated strategic vendor.
It could be, but I think that one of the things that's very important and really the key to building powerful alliances is that partners, both partners, have to consider what's in it for them, that is, the other person, mm-hmm. as well as what's in it for me. And this is the kind of thing that matters no matter what size company you are. I mean, we've been seeing in the newspaper discussions between General Motors and Renault and Nissan, and one of the big mm-hmm. issues there is what's in it for me, mm-hmm. what's in it for them. And it sets up the foundation for success or, unfortunately, failure. So we mm-hmm. want to succeed, and so it's important to start with this. You know, why is this alliance important to us? How will we know whether or not the alliance is a success? How will we work together to make decisions and handle conflict? These are the kinds of things that are right at the foundation. It's the key.
Mm-hmm. Are you seeing a lot more strategic alliances these days?
I am. In fact, I think it's a growing trend, and as you say, it's a positive trend, because what we're recognizing as small businesses, and of course I am one as well, is that in order for us to better serve our customers, we have to be increasingly sophisticated. We have to have more of a reach. We are in a global society. We can now, due to technology advances, I can have a partner in Beijing. I was just in Beijing. I could have a partner in Beijing. And we could expand together to give our customers things we could never individually give them. And so this is a tremendous advantage. It's a tremendous source of growth for us as individual businesses. But it just has its own challenges in order to succeed.
Well, and the reason I said what I did about the strategic vendor thing, Pam, is because I think that's the way most small business owners are going to get started with the strategic alliance activity. My technology, all of our technology, most of our technology is done by a strategic vendor.
Mm-hmm.
And not only do we write them checks to do the work, which makes them a vendor, but we both benefit from the contacts that each one of us have to help us grow our businesses. So I want to make sure that people realize that, yes, a strategic alliance could actually be that we come together and we agree to do a project together. We agree to be true partners in a project or maybe a longer term situation. But it could be that a strategic alliance is less formal than that, built around a vendor-customer relationship, but with value added. What do you think?
I think there are a variety of ways to partner with other businesses to get that growth, and certainly one is the route that you've described. The key in a strategic alliance is always to make sure that both partners perceive that they are getting equal value. In order for the relationship to succeed, it's a partnering. Whether it's a short-term, informal kind of partnering or a longer-term partnering, both parties have to feel that they're getting their objectives met. And so two overlooked ways, and I think these are very much overlooked, to unlock gridlock before it starts in these alliances is, number one, to know yourself. You know, there's the expression, know thyself.
Right.
And I think it means starting with forming your own strategy about alliances. You know, just as you were talking about, Jim, how do I want to start? What kinds of alliances do I want? That's really fundamentally it. Why do I mm-hmm. want alliances in the first place? Mm-hmm. What is it I'm trying to accomplish with these? Is it that I want greater reach, or is it that I want greater capability in terms of manufacturing products? What is it that I'm trying to do? The second thing is to develop a joint alliance strategy with your partner, so that you understand what the two of you are really trying to get from this.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have those things in place, that sets up the foundation that goes a long way towards making sure everybody's expectations are met.
Pam, we have to wrap it up. We've run out of time. Will you come back? I'd like to talk about this some more with you.
I would be delighted.
I think you've got some more stuff we can benefit from. Thank you, Pam, for being here. Give us the website again, please.
That's www.businessadvance.com. Please do contact me.
Check out the white paper. The book is Preventing Strategic Gridlock. Thank you, Pam. See you next time. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.